Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you until 6 o'clock tonight. And it's time now to debut our very first Nordson Corporation Champions of Education Series segment of the 2019-20 academic year. It's brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital self-renewing worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. And joining us here in studio, we have David Pritt, Director of Curriculum and Instruction with North Ridgeville. David, thank you so much for the time today. How are you?
Absolutely. Appreciate you having us. Everything's great.
Well, you were telling us that, you know, things have been pretty smooth the first couple weeks of school. Always nice to hear that things are going pretty well. And you guys have had quite an influx of new students this year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the district itself is the third fastest growing district in the entire state and the first in Northeast Ohio. So over the course of the summer, we've actually added about 175 new students to North Ridgeville this year. So we're probably pretty close, if not solidly in third place now, for being the biggest district in the county behind Elyria and Lorain.
When you're developing curriculum, how does that affect, you've got new kids coming in from new classes. Does education kind of vary with some of those kids coming in?
Absolutely. I mean, while the state lays out, you know, standards for every grade level, every kid comes with a unique background. So it's really the challenge falls to the teacher in that case, to where they really need to get to know the kids as quickly as they can to do just some quick assessments. Because for us in North Ridgeville, it's important to make sure the kids are getting exactly what they need. You know, we don't want to teach something to a student that already knows it. And we don't want to be too far above somebody who needs some extra help. So it's really critical, and our teachers do a great job of getting to know the students at a personal level so they can find out just what they need for those 175 coming in, along with the other 4,400 that are coming back to us.
What about the national? I'm curious, because my sister just went from Virginia to Texas, and it was kind of a new experience for her kids going to school in Texas. There's some different curriculum. Do you ever run into that?
You do. Even though some of the buzzword out there are the switch several years ago was the Common Core curriculum, but even within the Common Core curriculum, each state was allowed to adopt a percentage of their own standards. Mm-hmm. So there is some difference state to state in their standards. You see it a little bit in science and social studies as well, and that Ohio didn't necessarily adopt the national standards. Again, that's what we've got great teachers in our district for.
Hmm. Well, with growth, certainly comes with it needs for new facilities, and it's certainly no surprise North Ridgeville looking at the potential at three new facilities. So where are we at with this process, and are there any potential plans laid out for the new high school, elementary school, and maintenance facility?
Yeah, so what we know for sure is that we've got two issues on the ballot in November. One of those is a substitute levy. That's actually issue 17. So one of the challenges with a growing district like we have is our funding is still capped at basically the 2013 level. So a lot of parents will look at what's happening in the district, and they'll look at all the houses being built and think, you know, well, isn't there more money coming, you know, with those houses? And based on how emergency levies are written at the state level, that doesn't actually occur. So if you pass an emergency levy that's going to raise $1 million, it's going to raise that same $1 million no matter how many houses are built. So issue 17 for us is vitally important because it will actually help us out in that when new homes come to the community, it will allow us to collect growth on those. So we're going to take four existing levies that we currently have, and if the community is supportive in a way that I hope that they are, those four will be replaced by what's called a substitute levy. So the people that are living in North Ridgeville are not going to see a tax increase. So that's going to stay the same for them, which is critically important for our community. But those new homes that are built, they're going to allow us to recoup additional money on top of that. And in a fast-growing district, in a district like ours, you know, when you're adding 175 students, you're talking about the equivalent of really six or seven classes worth of students a year, those additional dollars are absolutely necessary.
And you guys have a couple of events coming up here over the next 2 weeks, which will allow residents to get some more information on those two ballot issues you were talking about. Can you give us some more information on these two events coming up?
Absolutely. So we've got a couple of events coming up. Our first one is on the 11th. It's what we're calling Mine and Nine, and that's a voter adoption registration. So what we're asking folks to do is to come out and find people that are going to support us and kind of be that person between now and election day to make sure they're getting good information. And that's absolutely critical for all of our people, is to have good information. You'd mentioned the bond issue. We're looking for a new elementary facility, a K-3, new high school, 9-12, a performing arts center, which is something that's desperately needed, because the fact of the matter is when you add 175 kids a year in a district, you quickly run out of space. So our academic center, which is in its third year of operation now, beautiful building, we have space there. where we don't have them are our two extremes now. So we've got to look at that elementary end. We've got to look at that high school end. And we need the support of our families to do that. So we do have on next Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon, we do have the Mine and Nine. And again, that's just a matter of coming in, finding people that are going to be supportive and making sure that they, you know, vote early if they can, or that they have this and they have that good information moving forward, because that's absolutely critical for us. We still run into people who say, didn't you just build a new high school? And we have to talk about the fact that we built a new academic center, 3-8. It's next to the new high school. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have those needs to provide the learning spaces. We've got students learning in spaces that weren't designed as learning spaces. Our elementary school doesn't have a separate gym and cafeteria, so they are literally having PE, taking a break for 15 minutes, getting the place cleaned up, having lunch, and then turning it back into a gym. And that's just not conducive, and it's not what's best for our students. So,
David Pritt, North Ridgeville Director of Curriculum and Instruction, joining us here on our Nortz Incorporated Champions of Education series. And while it's fun to talk about the future, we certainly want to talk about all you guys have accomplished so far. You've had some pretty interesting programs in the early stages of the academic year. What kinds of things were discussed at this bus safety presentation not too long ago?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, by law, actually have to have a bus safety presentation every year. So we provide it for all of our students. And really, it's a couple faceted. Number one is, and it seems simple, but it's simply getting on and off the bus and crossing safely. So we want to make sure that our students, particularly our younger students who have to cross in front of the bus, aren't crossing too close to the bus, so that they can't be seen when a driver is monitoring traffic and things like that. So they're going to get off the bus. They're going to move out to their place of safety. They're going to wait for a driver to cross and practicing some things like that. And then you've got the more typical evacuation type drills that I think most of us are used to from our days in school, to where we're going to open up that back door and work on getting students off that bus and down safely to the ground and away from the bus. So,
I want to ask you about something that some of your seventh graders did. There was a seventh grade class that had something called a book tasting session. I've never heard of a book tasting session, not exactly sure what this is, so could you enlighten us on this?
I can, and being a former middle school language arts teacher, I know how difficult it is to get students to want to read. So one of our seventh grade studios actually set up a book tasting, which is a lot like a food tasting. So what they did was they worked through a series of rotations and stations over about the course of an hour and a half. At each of them, they got a small piece of food, a Triscuit, a Cheez-It, something like that. But then they were exposed at each of those places to various books that they might want to read, whether it was a specific genre of literature, maybe a mystery novels, or maybe some specific titles. And then as students moved from group to group and worked with the people in those groups, they actually made a menu and a list of books that they hoped to read over the course of the year. Feedback from students was interesting because a couple of them said, I didn't think I would ever want to read seven books over the course of the year. So just exposing them to what's out there, giving them some background of things that they may or may not have experience with, I think was a good way to start the year.
That's interesting. I mean, especially with children that age, it seems like they don't quite know what they may be interested in. That helps them kind of figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely, particularly in a world that is becoming more and more digital. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as we came through schools, there were bookstores. Kids spent a lot of time in libraries and things like that. It's not so much anymore. You know, it's hard to find a bookstore to go and just leaf through things. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to bring that out and set it in front of the kids so that they know what it is that they do, in fact, like.
It's an interesting program, and it's a very interesting way of getting kids to pay attention. I've read that. I saw it make the rounds on social media, and I thought, wow, that's really fascinating. And it seemed like the kids really bought into it as well.
Absolutely. Anytime you can get a middle schooler to open up that book and engage with an actual, you know, physical book in front of them, I think is a good thing. So, you know, reading is one of those lifelong skills. It helps with memory in your later years. So the earlier we can get kids hooked into something that's going to be productive for them, I think the better off we all are.
And that's one of many things that the kids have gotten involved in the first few weeks of school. And I know that some of your fourth graders had what's called a paper chain challenge. So what all went into this paper chain challenge?
So picture having a single sheet of construction paper and 12 inches of tape, and your job is to build the longest paper chain that you can possibly build. So students work together in groups to kind of design and refine and redesign, you know, their paper chains to, in a friendly competition, do some team building and things like that and really get to know each other and their learning styles. The winning group actually put together a paper chain from a single piece of construction paper and 12 inches of tape of 22 feet.
Wow.
I'm not sure that I could do that with my group of friends and collective. So it's a great opportunity, like I said, to bring kids together, but that 22 feet is a mark to be challenged. So.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm trying to figure out how one would go about that as we sit here talking.
And I'm interested, too. I mean, over the summertime, it really seemed like a lot of the kids were extraordinarily busy, got into a lot of different things. I know the marching band was really busy. And well, there were some students also that got the opportunity to go down to the Lorain County Fair. And there was some sort of an association with Foreigner, right?
Yeah, they actually contacted us late last spring, maybe even into the winter, and said, hey, we're coming out to perform. We'd like to have your Spectrum of Sound come out and perform with us. Wow. So we actually had one of our high school choirs actually performing on stage with them, which is a once-in-a-lifetime activity, to be sure. So they wanted to make sure that the arts are appreciated in schools and that they're not lost in the schools, and I think that's something we do well. Obviously, you know, we talk about building performing arts and things like that. It's an awesome opportunity for our kids. So
that's terrific. So they got to perform just before or with Foreigner?
No, actually with. They actually came out and sang a set with them. So. Something I don't think any of them will forget anytime soon.
Well, no kidding. We were certainly hoping that the rain was going to hold off that day because, as I remember, you know, you and I were doing the show down there, and it started pouring down rain. We were making the joke at the time, you know, poor Foreigner. Every time they come down to the Lorain County Fair, I mean, it's just pouring down rain. They've got to be thinking, what in the world do we have to do to get on stage and perform here down in Wellington? And, boy, the kids had to be thinking the same thing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Do an anti-rain dance and get those rain clouds out of here.
There was a lot of radar watching going on where we were as well. So it worked out for the best for that evening. And like I said, it's just opportunities that few other places can provide. So
yeah, no doubt about that. Well, from paper chain challenges to book tasting sessions to performing with Foreigner, you guys have it all covered at North Ridgeville. Certainly some very, very exciting times. David, as always, a pleasure to have you here in studio. Always a blast to catch up with you and find out all the new exciting things going on with North Ridgeville. And, you know, we look forward to doing this again soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having us on, and go Rangers.
All right, good stuff. Again, that's our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education segment brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. We need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM.